Hello and welcome to the You and You Merit podcast. I'm Howard Hudson and this week we're joined by Dr. Thomas Ziesmer. We'll be talking about his new paper on immigration and growth in an ageing economy. The basic premise is that immigration can lighten the welfare burden of Europe's ageing societies, so long as overall employment and productivity rates remain at current levels. Now, your study is based on Dutch figures dating back to the early 70s, but the conclusions are relevant to other European countries. So that's our starting point. Now let's try to go a little bit deeper. You find a positive effect on the employment rate, in other words, working hours per person in the population, for the first 10 years after immigration, but none thereafter. Is this linked to poor integration of migrant communities, or is it more about numbers of dependents?
Yes, I think it is about numbers of dependents. We find this for working hours per population. But in earlier research, we found a positive effect of immigration on working persons per population. So it's definitely in the hours of the labor force. And the problem here is how to get many hours out of migrants, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You criticize other studies for ignoring the impact of aging and immigration on capital formation and economic growth. What's the added value of your approach?
The added value is that we, on the one hand, we look at working hours per population having an impact on GDP per capita of the population. Then you also have an additional impact on the productivity of capital. If you have more working hours, capital is more productive and you get more capital moving into a country under current conditions of perfect capital movements for a country like the Netherlands. And that makes it that if you have less working hours, you get less capital. If you have more working hours, you have more capital. And that means actually that approximately working hours per population translate one-to-one into GDP per capita per mm-hmm. head of the population.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to integrate that aspect to these studies.
Yeah.
Okay. You claim that Europe needs a better integration policy to realize the benefits of immigration. What are these benefits, and do they also apply to lower qualified as well as highly skilled immigrants? In other words, those targeted by the EU's blue card system.
Yes, the EU's blue card system is targeting highly skilled people, and the idea is exactly that highly skilled people work more hours. They are more demanded in the labour market, they have less unemployment spills, so more educated people are more demanded in the labour market, and therefore, it is definitely about the skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do the benefits also apply to lower qualified people as well?
Partly. I mean, employees benefit. They want immigrants very often. The immigrant benefits. He gets a job better paid than at home. But the overall social cost, so taking everything together, is weaker. A weaker situation for lower qualified people than for higher qualified people.
Okay. In any case, you say the EU's blue card policy is too restrictive and that the EU has become more pessimistic and defensive in recent years. Is this just a populist reaction to the economic downturn and increased immigration from North Africa, or does it go deeper?
I think the blue card is from before the recent North African events. It is a compromise between the government, so a populist attitude may be in this partly, of course. But you see more what it is about if you look at what the single countries are doing in regard to immigration. For example, the Germans have an income limit. If you earn more than 65,000 euros a year, then you may come in from non-EU countries. The Netherlands has a similar limit of 48,000 euros. So if you earn more, you may come in. Now, the Germans are discussing to lowering this to 44 or even 40,000 euros. So what they are trying out actually is how far they have to go with the skill requirement. Mm-hmm. And now in the higher the skills are required by a job, the more difficulties the employees have filling their vacancies currently. Mm-hmm. So this is another new pressure against the populist one.
Is that following the Swiss model to a certain extent?
The Swiss model is tricky. The Swiss model has... I know much of it about the past, but not so much about the current. So they have what they have done in the past is always, in the downturn of the business cycle, they have sent Italian construction workers home. So I don't know whether they still do that. So that is more going with the business cycle.
Okay.
Whereas here it's more about the structural development.
Okay. More generally, you say that immigration policy should focus not only on the number of immigrants, but also on their employability. The key here seems to be about improving education for second and third generation immigrants. Is this linked to access and retention, or is it more a lack of joined up thinking from policymakers?
I think it is learning from what we have done in the 1960s and in the 1970s. In the 1960s and 70s, we had great difficulties in certain branches which had got competition from Japan, Korea, Brazil, for example, shipbuilding moved. Mm-hmm. So what we tried here in Europe in many cases is trying to save these branches to stay here, in the sense of staying here, by getting cheaper workers. But it didn't work out. So the branches did go, if you want, and the immigrants stayed. And now what is crucial when talking about the second and third generation is the education attitude. Mm-hmm. We know from education economics that if your parents are not behind your education, the kids are also not behind their education. Mm-hmm. So it is of utmost importance that you have immigrants who have a very positive attitude towards education to make sure that there is employability also in the second and third generation.
Mm-hmm. So it's not about access or rates of dropout, it's more about...
Dropout is one of the experiences. So from certain countries, we know from social investigations that the attitude of the parents is not so much towards education, it is more towards working now, earn some money. Yeah. And in the long run, this causes troubles and gives more and more unemployment spills.
Yeah. Yeah. It's short-term thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, you say that skill-neutral migration enhances growth, partly because immigrants often start in jobs for which they're overqualified. What's the current policy of the Netherlands and other EU states towards skill-neutral migration? And are we missing a golden opportunity in some senses?
I'm afraid we are not missing a golden opportunity. The point is, in the past we had mostly low-skilled immigration, a slight bias. I mean, that is mostly what we are talking about. There's also a lot of high-skilled immigration, but there's a slight 5% bias towards low-skilled compared to the population that we have. And that is unfavorable for low-skilled wages. So there is a slight bias also on the distribution and effect of that. Now we are trying to overcompensate, sort of. So all the high-skilled emphasis would mean we try to compensate for what we have done in the past. So it's also about the distribution. The problem is that why I'm skeptic about the golden opportunity is that I'm not sure how many high-skilled people want to come, actually, because the whole world is now competing for them. Mm-hmm. Europe, US, but also the countries themselves. So the high-skilled are also highly demanded in their own countries. Mm-hmm. And it's not so clear how many we can get. It's just we have to try everything to cover our aging problem.
So in other words, Europe is facing greater competition compared to other economies.
Definitely, yeah.
So the policy mix at the moment, is that right for the challenge, or what does it need to do?
I think we need to do much more, not only immigration, also childcare is important for those couples who want to have children, to improve the opportunities to care for them. Mm-hmm. Is one of these things. I think in every aspect we have to check what it does to the aging problem. It's the greatest problem that we have.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of money is being spent by through the European Social Fund on, for example, childcare, etc. But does that need to be beefed up?
Well, from my German perspective, I would say yes. They have very slow effects from improving the childcare through the last 10 years where they have tried. Mm-hmm. And they are lagging behind the Netherlands definitely in this. So the Netherlands are much better prepared. But on the other hand, the Netherlands are now cutting down with the current government. So it is the question whether facilities remain as good as they were.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts. Yeah. Okay, many thanks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.